Welcome to the acclaimed podcast, Deep Dive with Andy and the White Whale.
Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Deep Dive. We're going to get into the full card here today. I'm joined, as always, by Minnesota's finest, Andy. We hopefully you got a chance to listen to our pod on Monday, where we talked about our initial reactions to the early lines. Today, now that the lines have kind of stabilized, we'll give you our take. I have a handful of plays out that I posted today that I'll give you my rationale for these plays. Interestingly enough, based on our show prep, it sounds like Andy and I may disagree on a few today, so you'll get the opportunity to hear us debate some of these out, and maybe he or I will change each other's mind, and I may be buying out of some plays, or he may be...
You usually convince me to add to plays.
This week is pretty cool coming up. We're into week three. We have a couple games in the books, a couple of kind of tried and true angles to look out for this week. Again, it's still early in the season, so anytime that you have a team that has an advantage in terms of rest, that's something you're going to want to incorporate into your handicap, because a little extra rest this early in the season when these guys are beating each other up and they're still getting their bodies into football shape goes a long way. The other angle that I had a vigorous debate with some folks on this on the old Twitter.com machine yesterday about how important travel is in your handicap and whether it's overrated in terms of being a factor. I personally still am strong believer that even though, you know, you're talking about these guys are professional athletes, all they do is practice and play games, and you know what does it matter if they fly to, you know, New York one week and then fly to Miami the next week? Well, you know, it doesn't, you know, these teams are so, in my opinion, at least, these teams are so close, and it does not take much to, you know, to go from a B performance to a C performance. And when the line is sharp, you know, all it takes is a tiny little bit of a letdown from a couple of key, you know, players on your squad who are tired or their legs are beat in the second half. Great example was the Eagles. I mean, the Eagles pretty much dominated the first half against the Chiefs, but then in the second half, it looked like their offensive and defensive lines, all the big boys on that team, their legs went on them, and you know, the defensive line for the Chiefs was able to get over on the O-line for the Eagles, and the next thing you know, they were pushing, they were in Wentz's face, they were creating turnovers, they were creating pressures. The offensive line then for the Chiefs was winning their matchups, creating holes and creating time, and that ended up being the difference in the game. And I did attribute that to the fact that they had played they were playing their second game in a row on the road. And so those, you know, we'll still look for that to be a pretty viable angle. Although I'm not going too heavily on that this week, there's really only one spot that I'm heavily backing, you know, heavily fading a team that's on the road for the second straight week, and we'll get into that as we go down the card here. The other cool thing about week three, we got a London game this week, Andy. We got the return of London football.
I was trying to wrap my head around how incredibly early that is for you on the West Coast. Like,
oh man,
you know, I'm up. I've had breakfast. I've settled in. You know, it's 8:30 in the morning. I better be up unless Friday got real weird. But yeah, you West Coasters, it is. I'm not sure the sun's up.
Yeah, no, it's definitely not. Sunrise around here is getting close to 7 this time of year, and sure enough, this game starts at 6:30, and there is 0.0% chance I will be awake when they kick this game off.
But no, I do like getting up 8:30 in the morning. If the game's a little slower, it almost bleeds into the first games. And then if you get one of those, maybe you get a lightning delay and it bleeds into that night game and you go about 14 straight hours on the couch, it could be
there you go, man.
It could be a very good Saturday or Sunday. Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah. Sunday's gonna be a hell of a day of football.
In London this year.
My usual routine for the London games is I don't specifically get up early, but like my mind and my, you know, my football mind is like racing as it is, and I'm hardly sleeping anyway going into Sunday. And I do wake up a little early and I'm like, oh man, there's football on, and I'll flip on the TV and usually like it'll be the first quarter, it'll be 0-0 and just some atrocious matchup, and I'll fall back to sleep and then just kind of like crack my eye and make a coffee and sit down and start watching like around halftime. And actually, you know, do you have any particularly memorable London game experiences?
None of them are memorable.
They all feel like they went way over the total. Wasn't there like a, like, do you remember when we were kids, wasn't there like a funny saying about betting the total in London games?
Yeah, we did talk about this earlier. It's an old Irish, an old Irish adage. It's,
yeah.
If in Wembley the game is played, bet the over, you'll get paid. And then recently they had to, you know, I don't even know if I say that on right. But
if, you know, something like that.
They play, I don't remember, you got to bet the under every day or something. Because, so, yeah, Wembley games go over. And old Wembley Irish people know over. That. Okay. So. Yeah, the only London game to go under, or yeah, Twickenham's in London. The only London game to go under for like the last 15 of them was the one that they did play at Twickenham, which is,
yeah, I think I remember watching a lot of that game.
I'm about to click on that. I don't need a rugby game, right? It's a rugby. It is a rugby. I was trying to figure out why I didn't know what soccer team played there, but yeah, that's rugby. Big rugby old stadium though. Yeah. Holds 80,000 people. I do love watching the crowd though, because it'll be like, you know, the Jaguars and the Bengals playing. And there'll be people in like JJ Watt jerseys and just everything.
Oh yeah.
Like they just, I have an NFL jersey. I brought my JJ Watt kit.
I'll tell you what, the people in London are more excited about football than the people in LA. I'll tell you I bet you anything that there'll be more crowd support for both teams in London than the Rams and the Chargers got last weekend. Holy smokes.
Oh, yeah,
LA is a college football town, man, through and through, and they have no interest in the NFL yet. I guess maybe that might change if they start winning consistently. But as long as we're talking about this London game, let's start right there. This one should be an interesting one to break down. I mean, you know, if you're a rec better and you love the London experience, you're probably going to try to find an angle on this game. I know that's kind of how I approached it. We were making jokes on the Monday pod that just, you know, hey, if you're jonesing for some action when you wake up on Sunday, just bet the EPL game. But in all reality, like, this is a fun one for us rec guys to really scratch and claw and find a spot to back. And one of the softer spots on my card this week, I'm going to be grabbing the points here on the Jaguars, currently listing 3.5 points here for the Jaguars. Normal juice. But yeah, I like the Jags in this spot a lot. As we mentioned, from a handicapping angle, they've done this trip to London now. This is their fifth time. On top of that, throughout their years, they've, you know, at least throughout the Blake Bortles regime, they have played Baltimore pretty tough. This is the third year in a row they're going up against the Ravens. 2 years ago, Bortles was able to pull off the upset in Baltimore. And then last year they came oh so close. And I think it was actually week 3 even. They lost by 2 points. And that one was in Jacksonville. And so here they have a third crack at the Ravens. The rubber match between Bortles and Flacco. As unsexy as that sounds,
it's the only thing on them in the morning. So
it's the only thing on. So we are into this, it's like the Thursday night football game. It's on, right?
I do really like the defense for the Ravens this year. They have looked good. Granted, I mean, maybe you take a little bit away from them after you saw Dalton play the second time. And you're like, well, maybe he's just, you know, trash, and that's what that is. But oh, they've looked good a couple weeks in a row, and I think I could maybe, even on this low number, even with the old Irish poem, I think I might be leaning under just because I don't see these offenses really lighting it up out there.
they are two bad offense.
I don't know what if somebody, you know, hit us up on Twitter if somebody knows the reason why there's 60 points scored quite a bit. Oh, and they go, you know, 50, 60 points scored when they get to London by teams that maybe shouldn't be going over that, but it just feels like a 14-6 game with me because the offenses aren't great. Actually, Bortles and Flacco has very similar numbers on the year. And
yep, both like bottom 10 quarterbacks. Defenses. Yep.
I'm not going to go out and make good defenses. Yet, I like your Jags in the points. If that got to 4, especially with, you know, regular juice, I'd definitely jump on that. Leaning a little towards the under, which nothing like sweating out an under. It's, you know, in the morning. That's how you want to start your day. Nice and stressful. Every pass is a touchdown, and every
having your coffee and trying to do the math and figure out how that can still stay under 39.5 when it's 14-14 at halftime. The other couple reasons I like the Jags in this spot a lot, obviously the huge blow to the Ravens offense and offensive line losing Marshall Yanda. He is all-world Hall of Fame-bound guard that will be on the IR for the remainder of the season. I think that gives the Jags defensive line, who has some really nice players, gives them the opportunity to really get in there and disrupt anything that the Ravens might want to do on offense. The Ravens had a nice running game against the Browns. Other than that, their offense has been pretty pathetic this year. And, you know, as we know, Flacco, like, if he's got any tool, it's the deep ball, and he needs time to get that deep ball complete. And if Calais Campbell is up his ass trying to disrupt things, I don't see him making any of those completions. Beyond that, the Baltimore defense is good. They're good. I was cool as hell on the Ravens heading into the season. If you remember listening to the preview,
I don't think they're a good team. I just think that defense could probably hold Bortles to about 10 points.
They are an absolute
pretender at 2-0.
They are, and they got outgained by the Browns, but it was 5 turnovers from the Browns offense, and mostly just kind of undisciplined play from the rookie quarterback Kaiser that really handed that game and handed that cover. Some of us had 9 Browns +9 in that game. It did not make it to the window. I was pretty bummed. That was one of the frustrating losses of the morning.
No other teams have a turnover ratio better than +3 besides the +7 that Baltimore is sporting. And you got a +7 turnovers, and you're about to face Blake Bortles. So I don't know what the record is of turnover ratio through three games. We might be threatening that.
We might be seeing
it. If they hold on to the ball, they'll be +9 at least. They're good for 2.
Okay. Well, let's go London. Let's go London Jaguars on Sunday morning. Coffee and donut game. Jaguars keep this thing within a field goal. I actually put them in one of my Stinktown money line, my Stinktown home dog parlay as one of the legs. So I'll be got fingers crossed that the Jaguars can pull off the upset and prove the Ravens the pretenders that we all believe they are. Let's move into the 1 o'clock games. We got a fat 1 o'clock sled here today, man. I'm looking at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 games on at the same time. I didn't necessarily intend to talk about this. This is maybe more of a Monday reaction topic, maybe, but like the NFL is kind of killing themselves on these ratings by putting so many games on at one time and having the red zone experience be as amazing as it is.
They had more late games last week, which was better.
And it was perfect.
And again, they go back to the, and granted you have the London game, which changes how many games you're going to have, you know, at the noon and 3 o'clock, but you lose one game from the main slate, but they dropped another one. It is only the three games at 3 o'clock. One of them.
Yeah, man. So you know, two of them
are even West Coast games. Ugh.
Yeah, that's right. It's really strange. I wish they would do a little bit better balancing schedule. I do think it's hurting them because it's so much fun to watch the Red Zone channel at this point. It's better than watching any standalone game by far. And I think that's kind of the way that, you know, the society and the football fans in general are kind of gravitating to that experience. So, but here we go. We have 9 games. First game I got an angle on is the Colts Browns. Let's talk about this for 2.2 seconds because these two teams are irrelevant to the season. I will hang an over 40 on this though. This total opened way too low. I think 43-44 was a much more reasonable total here. The Browns defense has some issues. The Colts defense is barely a defense. You got two teams here who I think can go toe to toe with each other and score. Not necessarily going to be a defensive showdown. So I'm going to grab the over 40. Who do you like to win this one? Out of curiosity.
Oof.
You think the
that's a Sophie's choice. Yeah, that's a. I think the Colts are very, very bad. I think the Browns
They're so bad.
Are. Yeah, the Browns deserve to be a road favorite in this game, even if it is.
Yeah.
You know, just by a point or two here, but I definitely think even with Brissett in, and Brissett's, you know, better than Tolzien, that might be a wait and see on. You know, he came into this the team late. He has to get used to the system a little, I suppose. But he could come out and be a lot better this week. But I have no interest in betting this game. I like your angle on the total. I think you could get there, but I'm going to stay away from everything. I do lean the Browns if you had to pick a side there, just because I don't think the Colts might not win a game till Luck gets back. They've just looked lost. Yeah. I don't know how they managed to. That Arizona game back. That Arizona thing was, boy, that was one of the. I just wanted to look away from that whole thing.
It was awful. Yeah, the Luck might not come back at this point. If they're 0-6 and he still is like barely practicing, they need to shut him down for the season. And this, the other thing that's kind of important, I guess, on this one is those of us who back the Browns team total over 4.5 wins. This feels like the kind of game that makes or breaks that bet. I don't know that we're getting to 5 wins if the Browns aren't beating the Colts in week 3. So let's go Browns.
Have this one.
Let's just see the Browns put up like 30 points and finally put it together on offense. Oh yeah, you know what else is kind of a cool angle? This is a little bit of a Deshaun Kizer homecoming. He played his ball at South Bend, Indiana, so he should have some support there in the dome. So let's say Deshaun Kizer homecoming. He puts up 31 on the Colts, and they go over the total of 40. Browns get their first win on their way to 5 wins. Please, please, thank you very much for getting to 5 wins, Browns. The next game I don't have a side on, but I think I saw the Steelers-Bears. This line opened up at about 7.5, and it looked like some of the sharper folks out there snapped up the hook in this one, even though looks like the majority of the bets placed is on Pittsburgh. Its line is moving a little bit towards the Bears. I'm staying out of this one. I'm not getting involved. Do you have an angle?
I did follow some of that sharp. That wasn't 100% my idea, but I do like getting those that seem like they might move that way. So I did grab a little bit of the Bears plus 7.5 when it was still at a decent juice price there. And if it gets closer to the game, I might buy out of that, especially if there's like a Steelers minus 6 and I can try to find my way into the middle there. I think the Bears can. Ooh. Ooh, a nice double dip at noon. That would be nice.
Yeah.
Glennon hasn't been terrible, and I like like some of the things the Bears are doing. They're on their way. They might be something next year. They're 0-2, but they had their chances against Atlanta, who obviously is a very high octane offense. They're a little slower on that. Regular
on Soldier Field.
I'm sure they didn't mow the lawn all week just to slow them down, but I mean, you saw what they can do on their turf. Steelers, the same way, high octane offense. Ben looked better, but he had the ball quite a bit against the Vikes. That was ugly. So I can see the Bears keeping it with a number. I have like a half unit stake on that right now. We'll kind of see how that goes come into the week. I don't really have an opinion on the total. This could fly over.
Anything,
if the Steelers get moving, they could score 35 themselves.
anything stopping you from putting the Steelers in a teaser this week?
I mean, when someone's right at that, I don't like to tease them. If you're gonna if you're gonna tease someone that's right around seven, you might as well just do the money line parlay.
Put their money line in a parlay. Yeah. Is there anything stopping you from putting their money line in a parlay?
I don't think so. I did do a nice little money line parlay last week. I should have posted that. And the last leg was Seattle at like -900. And everything, you know, the Patriots came through and, you know, flying colors. I can't remember what else there was for noon games, but I took basically all the big favorites and slung them together, and the Raiders came through flying colors.
Everything
like that was easy. And then I look at the Seahawks game with the, you know, what is this? Ended up coming through. It was like a +180 to finish that up, which was a nice little bonus to make up for some bonehead plays I made. But I think they're a definite nice little money line leg.
Yeah, we'll circle back on the Seahawks in the afternoon spot, but they certainly don't seem like they try until the fourth quarter. The Steelers, the only thing that's kind of making me hesitate a little bit about putting them in a money line this week is I remember their week three last year very, very vividly. They were at a conference on the road in Philadelphia, and they did not get off the bus. They ended up losing that game 34-3. I had them in a huge who blows this parlay week three last year, and I was absolutely stunned to see them get shellacked by the Eagles.
I remember that. What was that line? Because I remember having I had the Eagles plus the points just because I like that game to stay close, and I've never cashed a underdog ticket quite so easily. That was an ugly game. Everything they did just turned out badly.
Pittsburgh was kind of in the dead zone. They were like 4.5 or 5.5 point favorites in that. And they did not even stand a chance. The Eagles walked all over them. So just because it's week three, just because they're on the road at a conference, and just because it's early in the season and Pittsburgh's and feels like they're a little bit in preseason mode here, I'm going to steer clear this one altogether. The next game on the schedule is actually one of my more favorite plays. And this is one of those where we're going to record this on Monday, and this is going to be the first one that we bring up if it doesn't go my way. I'm backing the Jets at home. I had two spots circled for the Jets this season where I was going to consider them. And this one is one of the ones that really looks the most appealing. Dolphins are heading to the Meadowlands. They are 6-point road favorites. At its face value, seems reasonable if you're the type of person who's like, the Jets are going to lose all 16 games this season. The Dolphins might make a playoff run. 6 points on the road isn't too much to lay. And if you that's tough. That's right. For Jay Cutler, you're laying 6 points with Jay Cutler on the road. And if you're like me and you backed the Raiders last week to hang one on the Jets, and that game, even at the final score was like, 24-point win or something like that? Even that didn't feel that close. It felt like a 50-point win. And all of this, I think, is kind of setting up for a nice play on the Jets. The real angle that I'm going with here is basically the same sort of theme that we were hitting last week about the travel. The Dolphins left Miami because of Hurricane Irma a week before their game against the Chargers last week. They stayed in LA all week long. They practiced out there. They got adjusted to the West Coast time zone and then played a tough game against the Chargers, eked out a win, flew back to Miami in the middle of the night. They get off the plane and they got to deal with their home issues after the hurricane. Their body clocks are completely disrupted by the time change, having lived on West Coast for a week. And on top of that, you can see it may already be manifesting itself on taking a toll on some of these players. Guys you didn't recognize were hurt during the Chargers game, like Jay Ajayi and Jarvis Landry, missed practice today, going to be limited in the game. So right away,
that's a big part too. JGI, he looked good, and if he can't play, that's huge because
all he has to be is a step slow. Yeah, all he has to be is a step slow, and the Jets' defensive line has an advantage on them. If Jarvis Landry can't get open, you know, really the way to make hay against the Jets is to pick on their secondary, which is among the worst that has ever taken the field in the NFL. And if Landry's slow or if he can't get open, if Cutler can't find him, then this is another nice look for hoping that a tired, travel-weary team gets off the plane in New York on Saturday the Miami Dolphins, and then they show up tired and slow on Sunday morning, play a lousy first half, let the Jets get out to a little bit of a lead, and then see if we can't get kind of an inspired performance by the Jets while they try to notch their first win here in week three against the Dolphins. So one of my favorite plays of the week this week, Jets plus six. I'm backing them on the money line as well. But this is a spot that really, right in my wheelhouse as far as the situational spot for the Jets. And by the way, did you notice that
comes together for that one there? All your little things you like, and from a number standpoint, man. Just six in the road for a team. You've only seen the team play once. They have injury issues. They have a quarterback that wasn't even, he was fully prepared to just not play football. You know, who knows how much his heart's in it. It might just be the 10 mil they threw him. So that's very, very suspect with that 6 points. I think that's a good numbers grab. I don't know if I'll play
it.
Did
you know that the look ahead on this when they thought Tannehill was going to be the quarterback was Miami minus two?
That's odd.
Lo and behold.
Very odd.
Yeah, right. And it's not like it's not like the Jets are worse than people expected. And it's not like Cutler's better than people expected Tannehill to be. So, you're getting four free points on top of the fact that this is a great situational spot because the Dolphins had that surprise week-long stay in L.A. So this is when we tune in on Monday, when we go over the 34-3 loss by the New York Jets and we break down where it all went wrong. And I try to rationalize the fact that if one or two things had just gone a little differently, they would have won that game.
If he wouldn't have thrown that third pick six, boy, they were driving. They were at their own 30. Yeah. Let's look at something else here. Jesus Christ.
We're going to record from the future. If they had just left McCown in instead of putting Hackenberg in, they would have got the backdoor cover instead of that third pick six. We wouldn't be in this situation.
I don't think either of us are too interested in Patriots Texans.
No,
that's,
no.
I don't live at any points. Did you bet that?
I took the Texans.
I'm trying and to find me, you, me def- you didn't bet. Oh, you didn't bet the Vikings game yet because there's no line. I thought, he showed a little restraint, but no.
Hey, man, there's 16 games in the card, and I only have 11 positions, so there's five that I can totally skip. Let me touch a little bit on my Texans play. I think this is a 10-point game. I think that the Patriots win. Bill O'Brien is not the kind of coach that's going to show up in New England and win a football game against Bill Belichick. That said, there are a handful of things that I think work in Texans' favor that should have made this line a lot closer. First is the Texans played on Thursday Night Football. They're getting a little extra rest. That's going to mean something. Granted, this is their second week on the road. I think the fact that they get a little bit of extra rest is going to neutralize some of the effects of traveling 2 weeks in a row. The Patriots are not as good as the market thinks they are. They have major, major issues still on the defensive line. I think that if you get a grind kind of performance out of, if if Bill O'Brien would just innovate his offense a little bit and get Deshaun Watson, you know, out of the pocket and get him, you know, get him in some situations where he can use his legs just this one week, you know, get him, you know, worry about developing him as a pocket passer on a weekend where you're not playing the Patriots. I think he can, you know, I think he can get first downs. The Patriots showed early in the season last season they had a really difficult time with a very similar quarterback in Tyrod Taylor. The Patriots defense was a little slow.
Was that week four last year?
Week four, yeah. The Patriots' surface is a little slow. They're switching out the turf there because they were a little disappointed with how slow it was playing, and it made their players look awfully slow against the Chiefs. So I think you can see the Texans, you know, and you know the Texans have a couple players that are pretty pretty up and coming special players. I like Deontay Foreman. Foreman, is that his name? Yeah, yeah. I guess it's Foreman, right? He looked like one of the best. He looked like the best running back on the field for them against the Bengals. Hopefully, he gets some more snaps. Lamar Miller looks like he is D-E-D dead. The Patriots, Gronk is a little banged up, although he's practicing. And it sounded, I don't know if you heard this story or not, but it sounded like his groin injury. Did you hear this? He literally got kicked in the dick. That was the groin injury.
I mean, the appropriate, like, what injury goes best with this player? Like, that's it. Like, Gronk getting
Dong.
Just taking a dong shot. So yeah, he'll be fine. Like people, when you see groin injury, like that's a major muscle group down there. You think, it could be a pull, a strain, anything, and it's just got hit in the explosiveness. Yeah, you got hit in the dick. Like, you just can't bang for a few days.
So, oh boy. So yeah, Gronk's mojo is going to be down. This is a big injury for him. No. Yeah, but it was funny. The refs really let the defenses have their way with him against the Saints. And you know,
that got real physical,
and they let them play. If the Patriots, you know, they'll get there eventually this season. I think by midseason we'll see a different team, but right now they're not the kind of team where I'm interested in laying 13 points even at home. So I'm going to grab the numbers there. Look for the Texans to stay inside the number, not smelling an upset here. So if you want to put the Patriots in a mega money line parlay or something, although there's not really a lot of teams to do that with this week.
That is one that you could tease. You get to cross 13-7 with a 6.5.
That's true.
That wouldn't be the worst if you think the Patriots win, but you're maybe a little gun shy about laying two touchdowns almost. That's not a bad play. Parlays are fun. Parlays are fun. Let's get degenerate on it.
They are fun. The one other thing I wanted to mention about the Texans, this is their third game in Foxborough in a year. So this is not like the type, you know, this is not like that they're in a new environment that they're not comfortable, they're not familiar playing with. They played week three in Foxborough on Thursday Night Football last year. That was regrettable. Then they went back for the playoffs.
Yeah, I was going to say, they didn't cover either of those games. It wasn't even close. It was Texans plus one, 28-0. I was at a German restaurant in the Twin Cities when they were playing that second game, the playoff game, and I could not live bet the Patriots fast enough when the Texans close. Scored. Yeah. Remember, I had to move us around so I could sit and I could look at the TV above the bar, and I actually mashed it too many times. I double bet the Patriots, which ended up working out there. So I paid for dinner. I paid for drinks. So that if you are in the Minneapolis area, it's called Gasthof zur Gemütlichkeit.
Oh, that sounds so good. Hey, man, you inspired me. You just inspired me. I'm going to an Oktoberfest thing this weekend now. You just inspired me. I love this time of year for Oktoberfest themed shit. I'm going to post some pictures on Saturday. I'm going to do some Oktoberfest thing. Good inspiration, my man. Okay, so look for Houston.
What's up next year?
I want to touch on Bucks
and Bucks and Vikes. I think we'll post about Bucks and Vikes when you add your Buccaneers and Vikings play, what number are you looking for? Just real quick, what are you looking for to bet that over? 40, 41, 42?
43 or 44, I think, is what we're going to see.
You think he comes in at 44?
Yeah. I do. I think
White Whale blindly betting it over.
Yeah, I think Sammy's going to play.
He'll play.
That you're going to see. I think you'll see 43, open at 43 or 44. I'll be on the over in that when we see a number. I'm on the under in Buffalo. You have a feel for this Buffalo-Denver matchup?
Nope.
I think Buffalo's better here.
I think Buffalo's better than they thought they'd be coming into the season after they went.
Yeah.
It looked like a fire sale for a while, and now they're kind of overachieving, even though the record isn't there for them. They're just 1-1. The Broncos they made the Cowboys, which is one of the favorites to win it all out of the NFC. I think they were third favorite. They made them look stupid.
Yeah.
And they're only laying 3 in the road there. But yeah, that's a couple good defenses.
Yeah, this looks like Trap City. There is so much support on. They opened this line at 2.5, which was begging for Denver money. They got it. Like 90% of bets in the early betting was on were on the Broncos. This feels like a trap. I'm taking the under on this. I will probably pull the Bills in some of my contests and stuff. But I like the under 40 here because one, the Denver defense is as good as advertised. The Buffalo, as much as you're right, they have overachieved a little bit. They still have some issues on offense that I'm suspect of.
Let's see them try to move against that defense.
I don't know if you caught this, but there is a real impactful injury on the Broncos O line. It looks like their left tackle, who's been playing out of his mind through two games, really. I mean, he was kind of solidified there. Their offensive line was sketchy as hell last year, especially at the end of the season. And he kind of came in, and Garrett Bowles. He came in and played really solid left tackle for them. He had a bad ankle injury in the Dallas game, and he's probably going to be missing this one. If he's confirmed that, I feel double good about this under because I do like the way that the Buffalo Bills defense is playing. I love the way that they got after Cam Newton, and I think they can make this a long day for Trevor Siemian on the road in the early spot up in Orchard Park, where, in general, the Bills play pretty well early in the season. So cross your fingers for a Bills upset here, but particularly
I like that if under it does 40. Move, if it does move 3.5, 4, I'll probably grab some Buffalo. I think they can keep it close. I really don't know about them winning. The main concern for me is them moving the ball against that defense. But I like the underplay. I might get on that. We'll see. But I really would like some Buffalo at 3.5, 4, if that's where we're headed, especially if I get to 4.
Yeah, that would be nice.
What's up here next? Are we at a noon game? Let's take a break. I have a sheet of paper. It's full. I got to go get a new sheet of paper because I've been trying to write down all your bets. So we'll take a quick break. Right. I'll get a new notepad. We'll be right back.
You got any college you're interested in this week?
I like Georgia.
Yeah. Who do they find?
The Bulldogs. It's in Georgia. Mississippi State let down game. Georgia's better than they're letting on. I think it's like Georgia -4 or something. I think I'm going to grab some Bulldogs, especially if I can. I've got to, just real quick before we get back. Did I ever tell you that local I have, he started taking bets again?
Uh-oh.
Yeah,
he couldn't stay away.
He couldn't stay away. And I know, it's football only. Football and basketball only. So he's very narrow. But I went, he's all excited about this. He's getting a few more clients lined up. And I went 7-1 on him over the weekend. Anytime I had a loss, it was like a 5-deck loss. Which I didn't do too much. Yeah, I had a winning weekend, but yeah, I just destroyed him.
You gotta mix in some losers with the local, or they'll cut you down.
I know.
Disappear on you. All right, welcome back. Nice break. We got 3 more early games to talk about, and then there's the 3 in the late slate. Then I have a strong angle that I'm playing on the Sunday night game. And then we ought to give the folks a winner on the Thursday night game, since you're probably listening to this on Thursday. So let's touch on a couple of these late ones. First of all, we're going to skip Saints Panthers. I really have pretty much zero read on this game. I guess pulling for the Saints to pull off a victory, since I think I have some Panthers team total unders, and it would be a bummer if they started out 3-0. Let's talk about the Falcons Lions for a second. So this one is interesting, because as we saw, Falcons on a fast field were ridiculously fast. The Packers had nothing for them. The final score in the Packers, Falcons game was not as indicative of how bad of a beatdown that was by any stretch of the imagination. I had the Packers money line even.
Straight up.
Guess what? That's why you got to look to reduce the juice sometimes. I only lost one unit on that instead of 1.1 unit. Yes.
Silver line. You always got to find
the silver line. That's right. Clearly Falcons were the right side in that, and it was all about the home opener and the surface and the they were humming. They head now to Motown. They're playing indoors again, although I will argue that the Detroit field is not as fast a field as what you have in Atlanta. And in general, if you kind of look through the results over the last couple seasons, the Lions have been a little bit of a deceptive under team at home. You generally see high totals just because it's a dome and because of the controlled environment, but a lot of those games have gone under, Packers games aside. Total for this opened at 49, which I thought was a reasonable number, and I was going to just pass this game over entirely. I'm sorry, actually, it opened at 48.5.
It's moved
got
up.
Got that up 2 points already, so it's up to 15.5. The Falcons' defense is a little better than advertised. I don't think that the Lions will score at will. The Lions' defense is a little better than advertised. You can kind of hang, I think, the poor performance by the Giants on Monday night mostly on the Giants offense. But I don't think it's an understatement to look at the Lions defense and give them some credit for going on the road and containing those playmakers. They were very good. They have a nice pass rush, and I think they can. I think both of these defenses will give us an honest performance on Sunday. So I'm going to take under 50.5 because I think this line should be closer to 47, 48. Do you have a side in this one? Do you think Falcons will get this done? Go 3-0. Actually, you know what we failed to mention. This is a battle of the only battle of 2-0 team.
No,
O has got to go.
I sometimes have a hard recency bias when I bet them both. I took both those teams last week and they rewarded me. And now it's like two of your children playing each other. Now, who do you cheer for? when you make a bet, you build that team up in your head. You're looking at all the good reasons, and you should look at the bad reasons why you don't want to bet a team. But so I'm so high on those two teams because I really pumped myself up for those two games, primetime games, the last two bets of the week, and now I don't know what to think. I don't like unders when they set a total around 48, 50, just because it's on
they
the higher
over a lot when they're that high.
It's the higher end of a total, and it scares me. I can sympathize with your reasoning. I like it, but yeah, I'm staying off that one.
Yeah. Who do you think wins?
I really think the Lions might win.
I think they might too. I don't know why, man. I think the Lions.
It should be a close game. I just think you got to give the edge to the home team there.
Yeah, I mean, it's so crazy. We spent so much of the offseason talking about how tough the first half of their schedule was and how of any team this was the team that was going to disappoint because so many of their wins were lucky last year. And you know, we talked about how, like, you looked in the standings in, like, December last year, and somehow the Lions were leading the NFC North and were in position for a bye. Lo and behold, they're 2-0. And this does look like a good spot for them. It does look like You know, this is two playoff teams, two teams that are started out 2-0. I really do think we'll get a pretty good game here. And of the 1 o'clock games, even though I probably have my largest layout on the Jets, I'll probably be watching this game the closest, because I really do. We need to see, you know, are the Falcons as good as they look, or are the Lions, you know, fool's gold? Are they the 2-0 team that fades out of the picture? It should be a great game. So looking forward to this one. The last interesting game we should touch on in the morning here is Giants Eagles. I was salivating over the opportunity.
Where did that open? Do you have that in front of you? I wanted the Eagles at a much lower number, but I didn't.
Let's talk about the genesis of this line. The look ahead in the offseason was Philly -1. People expected the Giants to make the playoffs. People were writing off the Eagles. The Eagles look like a real team. The Eagles look like a team that is going to be in the conversation come December. The Giants do not. The look ahead before the Giants got their butts kicked by the Lions was Philly -3. And at that point, I was like, oh, boy, this is gonna be a nice one. This is going to be a good spot to back the Eagles. Let's get a big-time Giants win on Monday Night Football. People thinking, oh, everything's fixed. These teams righted the ship. They're going to go on and upset Philly on the road, and then we're going to get a nice number on Philly. It went exactly the opposite of that script, and here we sit with the Eagles at -5.5 at some shops, at -6 at some shops. That's a lot to lay in division against a desperate 0-2 team. Is that about what your read on that?
Yeah, I would have liked it a lot better at 4. I didn't think it'd be there. It might be I really don't think the Giants can win a game right now against the Eagles. The way they looked, I don't fully understand what they're trying to do with their offense. 3 good receivers. They had some bad luck. They had some bad breaks as far as couple receivers getting popped right when they caught the ball. Marshall dropped that one
right
on the sideline. But just their offense looks inept. I might throw the Eagles in a money line parlay because that's something you that could probably get behind. I think they win. I don't like it enough to lay 6 just because I can't.
Can I talk you into can I talk you into a Pennsylvania parlay here? Pittsburgh Philly money line parlay. That's probably gonna get you plus money, right?
Yeah, it'll be darn close.
Yeah, that might be an interesting one. I might have to look into that. The Keystone State parlay.
I know I'm gonna beat you to that tweet here.
Well, I only have 11 plays so far, and I'm only talking about adding 2 more. What's one more, right? Let's move to the afternoon slate here, man. I don't really know what I'm going to be watching here. Ostensibly, the big game is Seattle, Tennessee. This team doesn't look like they're really in regular season mode yet. They certainly didn't bring their finest against the Niners. They gave, for a second and third quarter of that game, the Niners pretty much got whatever they wanted outside of red zone touchdowns.
Offense looks like something. Yeah.
Yeah, man. Their offense is Russell Wilson and nothing. Jimmy Graham is a total dud this year. He might not even play, by the way. Just yet, his knee and ankle injuries. He's battling. So right off Jimmy Graham, they traded away Jermaine Kearse. By the way, Jermaine Kearse, who has more touchdowns than the Seattle offense. Did you notice that?
Yeah, I saw that on Twitter today. I laughed pretty hard.
Unbelievable. I laughed at that too. It does look like Seattle's finding their running back, which is important. They got this kid getting snaps finally, and it looks like they're probably going to say sayonara to Eddie Lacy and call that experiment done before it really even ever started. We talked about this on Monday. I liked Seattle. I thought they should be favored, even though they're on the road here. They're a better team than Tennessee. This is a similar spot that we saw with Oakland heading to Tennessee, where it was like, okay, Tennessee, if you're the real deal, prove it. You're gonna be favored by a couple points. Now go out and show us that you should be contending with the big boys here. And they let us down against Oakland. So this is another game where it's like, okay, well, you know, if you guys are for real, your 3-point favorites against the Seahawks here. This is a real defense. Show us you can score points. And I don't really have confidence that the Tennessee is going to be able to get it done either, given their kind of lack of imagination, especially in the red zone on offense. So I've gone on both ways here at this point, and this is now just a complete stay away for me. And it's just, this is a spot to watch these two teams and evaluate going forward in terms of, is Wilson healthy? His throwing motion looks a little weird. He's winding up a lot more than he used to get velocity on the ball that he used to have with ease. I wouldn't be surprised if he sustained kind of a keep it under wraps shoulder injury, given all the pressure and sacks.
I was wondering, that too with the injury, because he looks out of sorts. I don't quite understand. And obviously the offensive line is not good. They're having a lot of problems protecting him. He's running for his life quite a bit. So I'm also staying away. I can't really back that team, and I don't know if I care to back anyone as far as Tennessee, as a favorite against a team that is supposed to be, one of the favorites. It's still early in the season. People are still getting the glitches out. I don't like any team to back here right now. And the total's right where it should be, it looks like.
Yeah, I'm going to be pulling for both of these quarterbacks to stay healthy in this game, I guess. Other than that, I don't have a real serious this is the battle. Oh, by the way, this is the battle of our Propapalooza MVPs. Did you notice that?
Ooh.
You had Wilson and I had Mariota. I think that's. I think we're going to need a little bit of help.
Long season.
Yeah, the actual leader in the clubhouse, I think at this point for both Rookie of the Year and MVP, plays for the Chiefs. And it's Kareem Hunt. This guy is electric running back. And the Chiefs are headed to the Chargers.
I think people will figure him out. They just have to run much, much faster. it's not simple. You can do this. He is very quick. You get him on turf. And
goodbye. Yep. Yeah. I agree. 100%. 100% agreed. The Chargers and Chiefs is going to be an interesting game. From the looks of it here, again, they hung 2.5 in this here, and they were asking for Chiefs money, and they got it. It's out now to 3. It's probably going to go to 3.5 before the close here. We're seeing a bet slip percentage split here of 80-20 towards the Chiefs. Chargers have zero home field advantage. So if you're telling me that this is basically a neutral field and the Chiefs are 3 points better than the Chargers, that sounds about right. The angle I'm taking on this game is I grabbed the over. Now, I already got the way worst of this number. It opened at 45.5 and it got bet up to 47.5 before I could even blink. The two times that these guys played each other last year, you saw just a flurry of points. They obviously have the tools and the weapons to give each other nightmares on offense. The Chiefs' defense has played two tough games this season. They really had to dig deep and pull out all of their stops to get the win at home against Philly last weekend. So I think there's a chance you see the defense for the Chiefs let down a little bit this week. And like we said, the Kansas City can score. Kareem Hunt is faster than anyone ever realized. The offensive lines for the Chiefs looks like one of the better, if not the best unit in the league so far. And I think that the Chiefs can, I think they can give Alex Smith the time he needs to find Kelce downfield. Kelce looks like he's going to put up just a bananas stat line for this season. He's probably going to finish your season as the number one tight end, if I had to guess.
They're just the shittiest good team ever. You don't think of them as one of the better teams in the league, but they made the playoffs. They won quite a few games. They're off to a good start. Yep. They beat the Patriots and Foxborough. I don't know why there's not more backing for a team like this, but I think it's just still, you got to see Alex Smith do it a little more than 2 games in a row, and maybe 1.5 games in a row to really, really get behind this team as one of the better teams in the AFC.
Yeah. by all means, if you back the Chiefs against the Pats and you back the Chiefs against the Eagles, don't stop now. Keep betting them until someone stops them. And if you've been waiting for the opportune time to get a contrarian play in against the Chiefs, then week three, this is your spot. However, if you just think that this game offers the opportunity for a number of points, more so than you would normally expect to see in a divisional matchup, then get in line with me on the over. Or if you're the kind of person who's like, wow, there's no reason this should have been bet up 2 points. These two teams are going to play, a grind out game here and win somebody to win by a field goal. And oh, by the way, the Chargers can't kick field goals anyway. So why are you backing the over? Then,
I'm not going to try to say that guy's name.
Nope.
Any attempt without reading it here, I don't have his name up. So any attempt to try to read his name will just be come off as racist.
Yep, he's not going to be on the roster for much longer, so don't sweat it. The last of the afternoon games here, Bengals head to the Packers. This, again, the spot opens up here with the Bengals getting a little extra rest off the Thursday night game and getting a handful more points than they ought to be as a team that is coming in desperate to right their season. This 0-2 teams, do you back them week three or not, is a very difficult question. It used to be a golden rule of handicapping week three to back an 0-2 team because they would pull out the kitchen sink and they would give you every one of their best offensive plays that they practiced all off season in order to get off the schneid. That's gone by the wayside a little bit because a lot of the 0-2 teams are just bad teams. And so here we see, and it's
here we are both backing the Bengals.
Bad team, right? 8.5 is too much. I'm sorry. The Packers defense was amazing week one against the Seahawks, but we saw the Seahawks have major offensive line problems. The most effective piece of the Packers defense was their nose tackle Mike Daniels. He got hurt in that Falcons game, and when he was not on the field, that Packers defense was bad. And they look like the kind of, they look like the kind of unit that you get right against. I forget one of my favorite guys following me was using that. These are the get right guys. You play this defense when you want to get right. The Bengals fired their offensive coordinator. They're bringing in Bill Lazor. His philosophy heading into this game, I've heard rumblings that his philosophy heading into this game is going to be to try to limit the exposure of Andy Dalton to defensive pressure by running more of an up-tempo offense, which is pretty cool. I think that has the, if they're practicing that this week, if they can get, if they can keep the Packers on the field and run them up-tempo, I think you're going to see plenty of points. Creates an angle on the over, which I haven't backed yet, but I'm almost certainly going to be adding this over. I'm waiting for it to drop to about 44. It's on its way down from 45.5 to 44.5. On its way to 44, I'm going to grab that over once it gets to 44, likely. And we're going to see this one finish, some kind of a shootout here where Cincinnati stays inside the 8.5, but probably doesn't win. But their offense, I think, snaps out of their funk this weekend. And AJ
Green said, I don't care. Just throw me the ball. Hopefully they can get him a little more. Maybe some underneath stuff just to get him going. Somebody else can step up and get him out of constant double coverage. And Andy Dalton looks scared for some reason. Hopefully he just starts – he just needs to sling that rock. And, maybe some good things will happen. He's just throwing the ball away and just – he looks scared and stupid. And hopefully
get it right. A lot of that was prime time. I think a lot of that was prime time, Andy Dalton. Get him in an afternoon spot where he's not even the most watched game of the week, and I think he's going to be a little bit better player for us. Take a little pressure off him. Bengals stay inside this number because the Packers defense is not good enough to cover 8.5. And moves us into the primetime game. Primetime spot. You like the Redskins in this? Still, I know we talked about this Monday. You grabbed them when they had 3.5 out there on the open.
I did. I grabbed some Washington 3.5. Where are we sitting right now? I don't think it's moved. It's plus minus 105. So it's sitting right at 3. Redskins and Kirk Cousins much better at home. I still want to lean on that angle. I can see them winning this game. Oakland is a very good team, but you know, good teams don't win every single game except for, you know, that day, I guess, twice. But yeah, Cousins at home. The Raiders slowed down on that awful field they have there. maybe one of the slowest fields there is.
It's early enough in the season that it might not be that.
It's not chewed up completely yet. Not like rip your ACL chewed up. So, I just think anything over a field goal is worth a play. Just strictly kind of a number thing.
Okay.
I don't think the Washington's a bad team. I don't think they should be giving up 6.5 on a neutral field to this team right now. I think they've shown that they can play tough against decent teams, and I think Cousins he's the anti-Dalton as far as he'll just sling it. Let's get some points.
Yeah. So one thing I will ask you, would it surprise you to know that as good as the Redskins are at home, and I agree they're good.
Are we going to do the West Coast travel thing?
No, I have an angle for you on the actual Redskins. Would it surprise you to know that they are 1-6 straight up and against the spread at home in primetime, going back the last 5 years?
It would not surprise me.
They have a difficult time for whatever reason in primetime at home. They just they get a little choky. Get a little choky at home. Those weren't all Cousins years, though.
I don't even want to think about that.
RG3. Yeah.
Yeah.
Some of that goes back to RG3, but a lot of them were Cousins, including the Monday Night Football debacle against the Steelers last year. That was ugly. They had their one win. They got revenge against the Pack, I think, on Sunday Night Football last year towards the middle or end of the season. They were just awesome. That's their one win out of their last 7 in primetime at home. As you mentioned, the Raiders are a West Coast team traveling east, playing an East Coast time zone in primetime. And this is, you know, for people who love and live the circadian rhythm stuff, like, the idea behind this angle is the West Coast team's body clocks are in optimal functioning time, whereas the East Coast team's body clocks are winding down for the day. And this has been a pretty effective angle going back as long as I've ever followed this stuff. What's that?
That's what amphetamines are for. Yeah, just take some greenies, pop up, perk up. No, I have seen that. I've seen some of those angles, and it's true. That stuff happens.
It's not well discussed because it's really rare that it happens. Most of the time, when West Coast teams are in prime time, they're playing other West Coast teams, or they're playing on the West Coast for whatever reason. So there really just aren't very many examples of this. Surprisingly, the Raiders have it 3 times this season. This is the first of 3 different times that they're going to be traveling east to play in primetime. Later this season, they go at the Eagles and then at the Dolphins. So this is one of 3 spots. Also, just in general, go figure. The Raiders have been playing amazing football on the East Coast, period. East and Central Coast time, you know, usually is a tough spot for the West Coast teams, but the Raiders have been doing something different over the last 3 seasons. Under the Jack Del Rio regime, the Raiders have been a fantastic spot to back on the East Coast. I cannot answer why that is.
I think that's just a product of they've had a good record. They've won a lot of games, so.
They're beating teams and they're covering spreads on the road pretty regularly. Titans twice over the last couple seasons. Saints, they got them last year. Jags, Raiders. Ravens. They've been doing some good work on the East Coast, Central and East Coast time zones. And so we will look for them
just
to cover the spread.
Just general Raiders regression. Like, how many games did they win last year that they shouldn't have?
A lot of those East Coast games I just mentioned.
They might be better than they were too last year. Even this team looked pretty good, but I just pure numbers grab. I guess 3.5. We'll see how it goes. It can always be bought out of.
Yeah. So let me just kind of break down a little bit how you get into how I'm approaching the Raiders cap in general right now. I talked about this on Monday a little bit. I kind of see them as this year's Falcons, if lack of a better comparison, I guess. Falcons from 2016, that is. And they are the kind of team where I'm interested in backing them home or on the road when I see they have an opportunity to score points early, to get out to an early lead. And against the Redskins defense, which I don't find particularly scary, I think that the Raiders are going to be able to get theirs early. Like we mentioned, the time helps them. Once they can get a lead, their defense can play downfield, and overall, you see a different complexion to this team when they're in the driver's seat, scoreboard wise. So we're looking for the Raiders to get out to an early lead here and strangle the Redskins in FedEx Field. And I'm going to be laying the 3 points here. The fact that the Redskins are taking so much money is a little surprising. The line keeps dipping in their direction. I don't understand that necessarily. I don't see where exactly on the matchups the Raiders have a serious disadvantage. It looks like Jordan Reed's probably not going to be 100% if he plays at all. It looks like
I don't know if he's ever been 100%.
No, I don't either. Terrell Pryor has been talking big game, but he has yet to really find his role in this offense. The offensive line for the Raiders had some pretty woeful moments against the Rams defensive line. So I think there's space for Khalil Mack to get in and be disruptive in this game. The running back, the primary running back, I guess, is out for the Redskins, and they're going to be leaning on Samaje Perine, I think the Raiders can get out to a nice lead here, and I think they can put the Redskins away, and I think this might actually be a pretty boring game with the Raiders winning comfortably.
I agree with that. If the Raiders do get out to a 10 or 14 point lead right away, I don't think there'll be a comeback. Washington's angle to win the game is to keep it close in the first half and then just grind away and win. Or keep them from three.
Yeah. We'll save some talk on Monday Night Football for our Monday pod, since that'll be the only game of note on Monday. And I'm going to circle back here to Thursday Night Football. Let's give the people a winner. Yes.
Let's give them two plays. Let's give them both sides of this, apparently.
No matter, so they're unless there is a no, actually, is it possible?
No,
we could be both wrong.
We have the wrong way. You have the money line.
It's possible. Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's possible.
That was last week where we could have both.
That was the Green Bay game. It was the Green Bay game. Yeah, we both could have lost.
Oh yeah, my team could win by one, I guess.
If the Rams win by one, we are not going to give the people a winner. So I'm going to take the Niners money line. I like a low scoring game. I like a pretty boring game. I don't particularly think either of these offenses has anything to write home about, other than maybe Carlos Hyde is a noteworthy piece for the Niners, and Todd Gurley looks like he's kind of solidifying his number one status as the key driver of the offense in LA. But I'm going to grab the Niners money line here. You disagree with me?
Yes.
End of story.
I will be on the Rams.
What kind of final score do you see?
I'd agree with the low scoring angle. I think it is low scoring. I just I don't I can't get behind the Niners offense right now. I was really impressed, and I don't know if I was impressed with their defense last week, just based on how Seattle's. It's one of those things, you look at the box score and you say, wow, they kept it close. They kept Russell Wilson, you know, from scoring, but they have not been getting it going. The Niners were, what was I looking at this here? No, I lost all my notes. Either way, Goff by a million.
Okay.
I honestly think the Rams might have better luck on the road. Like, that is, you talk about the Chargers in their stadium. The Rams, it's the same thing. Like, there's no home field advantage. They might as well just play on the road every week.
Yeah.
I don't think you know, the Niners faithful, they'll be there, but it's not a big travel spot. Goff has played a lot better. Obviously, week one, that box score was a little wonky too. There were some turnovers and defensive, goofery there. That Goff didn't go out and put up 40 points all by himself. That's not how things work. But
no.
It just does not feel like a game where the 49ers can come out. And what is the implied score based on the total here with 39? You know, you're talking 21-18, something like that.
Yes.
I don't live in a world where the 49ers come out and score 18 points against the Rams' up-and-coming defense.
So I am actually living in that world as well. I'm living in a world where the Niners are scoring 17 points in this game, aided by some amazing defense and some good field position and some positive special teams plays. But I am downgrading the Rams relatively significantly for a couple reasons. The first is, as we talked ad nauseum in the preseason, because this is one of my favorite angles that is unfortunately getting ruined kind of in this game. The Thursday night rookie head coach fade is one of my favorite spots that no one talks about in the regular season. New head coach doesn't know how to prepare his team 2 weeks in advance for the Thursday night spot. Compressed week, less time to prepare a game, opponent-specific game plan. I think Sean McVay and company and the Rams are going to have a really difficult time putting together a game plan. It benefits the defense. But I'm also going to give Kyle Shanahan the tip here between these two coaches as the better, the better coaching prospect. I like Kyle Shanahan a lot. I thought he was pretty amazing last year and what he did for the offense in Atlanta. Atlanta, I don't know if you remember this or not, but the years that Kyle Shanahan was in Atlanta, they did really, really well in the Thursday night games. In particular, last year, their game plan for the Thursday night spot they had against the Bucks was just flat out awesome. They ruined the Bucks in that Thursday night game. So I'm going to bank on the fact that Kyle Shanahan can carry over his experience from that Thursday night spot into his new regime as a head coach in San Francisco. And I think he's going to have his guys set up to get just enough to get ahead, to get over the Rams here in this game.
If they trade for Matt Ryan and Julio, I can definitely see them continuing that success. It's funny, like every argument you make for this game, this is like the Spider-Man's pointing meme. Like, these are the team. These are the same team. Argument you can make for one team, it seems like you can make for the other.
Are you ready?
Team has the weapons.
I got one you haven't heard. Are you ready for this?
Should we just go together and play the under? Let's just both play the under.
What? I do have some under in this one. I got under 42 or 42.5 when it opened because I was waiting on the under. Because, you know, like I said, two rookie head coaches going head-to-head on Thursday Night Football with two quarterbacks that absolutely suck. This was an under that was, like, made for – that was like perfect tailor made for my situational angles. But I only got a little bit on that. It's already down to 39.5. And, you know, I'm a little concerned with how low scoring things were last week, for whatever we have, just a weird game where there's just enough points to blow that under up. But let me pitch you something that you haven't heard before. There is one other there is one other thing I remember from 2016 very vividly, and it is what Jared Goff looked like in a primetime spot. Do you remember the game that they played the Seattle Seahawks in Color Rush Thursday?
Yeah.
You're older, you're wiser.
He was atrocious.
That was the worst single game by a quarterback that I saw all of 2016. And if we get that Jared Goff tomorrow, then I'm going to be cashing this ticket at halftime. So that's my only other look in this game, besides the fact that I'm thinking Shaney's going to be a little bit more prepared than McVay. And I think that Goff has the potential to be a little bit more choky than Hoyer. And we're going to grab the plus money here on the Niners. And I will also note that as ineffective as the Niners have been at winning games over the last 2 years, you know who they've beaten three times? The Rams.
And
they were
2-14. We're getting a little long here, but I will just and this is it's backing you here. This feels stupid because you're on the wrong side and you're loose, but I will say, and I think I mentioned this once, but it's probably the right move. I did read an article, and it wasn't just some dipshit on Twitter. This was a well-written article that had the stats to back it up. If you're looking to back teams that are plus 2.5 over the long term, the money line is the better play. Absolutely. Like I'll have to find that link to that article because it was a really good read. But over the long run, you will win more units in the NFL betting the money line when a team is plus 2 or plus 2.5.
That is absolutely right.
The odds of a team losing by 1 or 2 are just so much lower over the long run where you get that extra 20, 30 cents because it's often plus 120, plus 125. I'm not sure what you grabbed.
Yeah, I got plus 124.
Yep. Yeah, no, that is, a loss is a loss. It doesn't matter how you lose your unit that you bet on San Francisco, but you did the right thing. I'll tip my cap to that. Good effort.
This is the same situation as the Packers. If I lose this one, I lost the unit, not 1.1. So those add up. All right, man. Good stuff. Let's enjoy this Color Rush Thursday. We'll recap as always on our fantastically successful Monday pod. We appreciate you guys for listening and thank you for hanging in here with us. Tune in again on Monday and have a great football weekend, guys.